That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in.
500,000 Lagosians.
720,000.
970,000.
Over 1 million Lagosians. They know that if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Well done, Sandra, and all you do. Going beyond the headlines and focusing on the facts.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
Hello, Lagos. Good afternoon. I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts. If you're tuning in for the first time, you're alongside 1 million Lagosians, and hey, they cannot be wrong. I've got a great show for you, starting with the Big Three, Global Edition. Let's talk about Ruto winning in Kenya. Then let's talk about Emirates suspending Nigeria flights. And then it's Ideas with Ayobe from 3:45. After that, Public Square with Agogo Obo. And then every hour. But right now, let's get into the Big Three, shall we? Mm-hmm. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, Lagos. These are your hard facts.
On hard facts.
What does Ruto's victory mean for Kenya? Will Nigeria's forex crisis end international flights? Those are two of the Big Three. Global Edition, Lagos. Let's talk. For our first story, Emirates Airlines is suspending its Nigeria flights from September. They're doing this because they have not been able to take their dollars out of Nigeria, earnings in dollars. They haven't been able to take it out of Nigeria in dollars. Now, what normally happens is when you buy an airline ticket in Nigeria, you pay their Nigerian office or you pay into their Nigerian accounts. But airlines are global businesses. They need to be able to take their money from their accounts in all the different countries and send them to the headquarters in dollars, usually. But recently, the CBN has been having problems sourcing dollars to give the airlines. In fact, the IATA says that Nigeria is trapping over $400 million in airline money. And $85 million of that money belongs to Emirates. And the airline now says that we don't need to continue like this. The airline said, quote, Emirates has taken the difficult decision to suspend all flights to and from Nigeria effective September 1, 2022, to limit further losses and impact on our operational costs that continue to accumulate in the market. We sincerely regret the inconvenience caused to our customers. However, the circumstances are beyond our control at this stage. We will be working to help impacted customers make alternative travel arrangements wherever possible. Should there be any positive developments in the coming days regarding Emirates' blocked funds in Nigeria, we remain keen to serve Nigeria. And our operations provide much-needed connectivity for Nigerian travelers, providing access to trade and tourism opportunities to Dubai and to our broader network of over 130 destinations. End quote. The airline is saying that it cannot keep paying for services that keep the planes flying if it cannot access its revenue. Imagine, say, they give bank money. Bank no agree give you money because the money to give you no day. The IATA has also commented on this situation. They are the global body that oversees aviation. And they said, quote, IATA is disappointed that the amount of airline money blocked from repatriation by the Nigerian government grew to $464 million in July. IATA's many warnings that failure to restore timely repatriation will hurt Nigeria with reduced air connectivity are proving true with the withdrawal of Emirates from the market. Airlines cannot be expected to fly if they cannot realize revenue from ticket sales. Loss of connectivity harms the economy, hurts investor confidence, impacts jobs and people's lives. The government of Nigeria needs to prioritize the release of funds before more damage is done. End quote. Now the question becomes, what happens next? Will other international airlines follow Emirates and halt flights? Or will the government start releasing their money for them? Have you been following this story? What do you think about this story? Now, every Friday, we let Nigerian stories rest and we take a look at what's happening in other parts of the world. But sometimes the biggest stories in other parts of the world or all over the world are still Nigerian stories. And a major airline like Emirates Airline pulling out of your country is a really big story. Share your thoughts with me. 0700-993-993-993. 0700-993-993-993. 01465-7190. That's for women. Women, call us on 01465-7190. Men, call us on 0700-993-993-993. Hello, thanks for calling us.
Hello, Father.
Good evening. What's your name, sir?
Good evening.
Good evening.
John from Ogba. Hello.
Welcome, John from Ogba. Go ahead.
But it's surprising that during the campaign, I mean, during the this party, remind me now, this way, when they were sharing dollars, they were able to share dollars.
Now, political primaries.
It's a serious issue now, hello?
During political primaries?
Yes. Mm. They were able to lure people and share dollars.
Okay.
But that dollars came from somewhere.
Okay.
Now, there's no dollars to pay the airlines, and you've collected their money.
Mm.
Where is that money? Where is it lying? Where is it? Where is it? Did they get the money they have, the dollar they spent? Do they think they are fools? Why? What would this government get right for once? Bye-bye.
John, bye. Thanks for calling. David on WhatsApp says, Sandra, when a politician is governor of CBN, what do you expect? They mop up dollars and foreign exchange for political privileges and leave the real sectors to suffer. How will we not be in economic problems? We need a new CBN governor if we're serious about the economy. David, with that message on WhatsApp. Jason Lokbeye is on the line. Hi, Jason Lokbeye.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Yeah. Please, I want to ask you a question. Mm. If they stop all international flights, can this senator, can all the politicians, can they travel outside?
Can they travel outside?
The country, yes.
Yeah, they can.
Even by stopping flights, like international flights, are there local flights like that are operating in Nigeria that can go abroad?
Well, Airpeace travels abroad, and they can go to neighboring countries and fly out from there. They also have private jets.
Because I want, right now, because I'm thinking like, okay, if they should stop that, maybe all of us should be in Nigeria. Nobody should be able to fly out. I think they should make Nigeria no fly zone, or how should I put it? So none of them should be able to fly out, since they don't want to do what is good. Because how can I be doing business and I'm still using my money? You don't want to give me, look at that that example you gave. I'm giving bank money and I can't collect my money. I go bring back the bank.
Just look, I beg, no break any bank in case it happened. Yeah, just imagine that. 99.3, hello.
I'm being your lord. Sandra, how are you?
I'm very well, sir. Welcome. What's your name?
Very good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, my take is in this. It's beautiful where you pay them. They pay them in naira or they pay them in dollar. We're about to travel.
We pay in naira, but they have to. We pay in naira, but they can't take the money out in naira.
Okay.
They have to take
now,
it out in dollars.
We send our provision in dollar. We get dollar home.
Mm-hmm.
Why should somebody tell me no dollar in Nigeria? Because when we transport our provision abroad, we do crossing dollar, mm-hmm. and they brought that dollar home. So the matter should be between the central bank and those. If those. People don't want to fly Nigeria, come to Nigeria, there's no problem. When we talk of politicians taking giving out dollars, I think those dollars still go back to the people.
Mm.
Because immediately they pay you that dollar, you go to those the change, they give it to Naira for you.
Mm.
So for me, the excuse of community or this, I don't understand them. That's my stand this afternoon. Good
All
afternoon.
Right, thank you very much for sharing your stand this afternoon. Kingsley Nikorodi is on the line. Hi, Kingsley.
Good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good job.
Thank you.
Sandra, why do we like to disgrace ourselves? Can you imagine? Where is the attraction for international relationship, Sandra, here?
Hmm.
Ask yourself. We are talking about foreign investors. Sandra, oh God. Anyway, the truth is this. Some people will still twist this story and tell you that it's an international relationship between Nigeria and Dubai. We'll say it to this afternoon. We will listen to them today. In fact, my sister, I beg. I'm waiting for Monday for good news for my daughters and the sons for half at Garen.
All right. Thank you very much, Kingsley, for calling. Well, we haven't heard from the Nigerian government about this situation. And, you know, we've got about 3 weeks before September 1. You know, there's a bit of time before September 1. And hopefully by then, we would have found a way to let Emirates access their money. Because, you know, you have an organization like Emirates Airlines leave the country. It doesn't do well for attracting other investors who may want to invest in the country. If you just tuned in, hello to you. Good evening. I am Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Hard Facts. And every Friday, we take a look at what's happening in other parts of the world as far as global stories are concerned. And I just told you that Emirates Airlines is suspending its Nigeria flights from September. They're doing this because they've not been able to take their earnings out of Nigeria in dollars. And I told you that usually when you buy an airline ticket in Nigeria, you pay for that ticket you pay to their Nigerian office, right? Or you pay into a Nigerian account. But because airlines are global businesses, they need to be able to take that money out of the country, right? And they need to be able to take that money from different countries. So they're not just operating in Nigeria. They're operating in Ghana. They're operating in Kenya. They're operating everywhere. You know, and because they're operating in all these different countries, even if you pay in your local currency, they're going to need to collect all the money and deposit it at the headquarters. They typically do that in dollars. But recently, the CBN has been having problems sourcing dollars, and they've trapped $400 million in airline money as a result of that. And $85 million of that $400 million belongs to Emirates Airlines. And now Emirates has said that it's been difficult, doing business. And they're going to have to take the difficult decision to suspend all flights to and from Nigeria effective September 1. And I'm asking you, you know, what you think will happen here. Do you think other international airlines will follow Emirates and halt flights? Do you think the government will start releasing funds? Do you think that, it never reached to suspend flights now, calm down? But again, also remember that Emirates Airlines says they've been trying to get the government's attention on this business. They've been trying to find a way to solve this problem, get the government to release their money. It's their money, you know? But it hasn't been fruitful. And after a while, you just have to do what's best for you as a business, especially because, well, Nigeria isn't the only country they're flying to. Like they said, they fly to over 130 destinations worldwide. Now, of course, will the politicians and big men and women be affected by this? No. They can go to neighboring countries and fly out from there. They can charter private planes and fly out from there. They can fly other airlines who remain in the country, except of course those other international airlines decide to also do what Emirates has done here. But it is a situation that should concern everyone. When you're thinking about the loss of jobs, you're thinking about the impact to the economy, you're thinking about just all round. I'm not seeing the silver lining here. But what do you think? 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. I see now that our guest from Kenya has joined us over Zoom. We're going to go to him in a bit, but let me take your thoughts on our first story. 99.3, hello. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
Yeah, please, I have a question to ask.
Okay.
What is Godwin Emefiele still doing in Central Bank, a politician for that matter?
Okay.
That's my question.
All right. Well, I'm not in a position to answer that since I'm not a government spokesperson. 99.3. Hello.
Hello.
Good to have you on the show, sir. What's your name?
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Okay, Samuel.
Welcome.
Concerning your question, though, of course, it may lead other airline operators, international airline operators, to say, so, well, probably follow suit. But, you know, as far as this Emirates whatever is concerned, of course, they are absolutely right. But you recall that even over time, Nigeria and this Emirates or Dubai, whatever, they have been having issues, series of issues. You remember?
Yes, of course.
So that one also might even, you know, prompted them to take that, you know,
final
action,
decision.
So to
say.
Okay. You get? And also, it's also an expression of a lack of, number one, impunity on the part of, you know, our government here. Because how can somebody have such a huge amount of money with you?
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing, that's what I talked about, impunity. So, I mean, not everybody can take that kind of trash, you know, if I may use it.
Okay.
And also, concerning, you know, the scarcity of dollar,
mm-hmm.
it's all about politics and, you know, insensitivity, so to say, because there's nothing, I mean, could stop them, you know, from, you know, delivering topmost and premium services to this, because they collect taxes from them as well.
Mm.
So it's a win-win business. So how you now have allowed, Nigerian government cannot tell that I don't make hell of money out of these people as well.
Yeah.
You know, so it does quite unfortunate, embarrassing, especially to the people concerned. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling. We've got Tiro in Ikeja on the line. Hi, Tiro.
Yeah, hello, Sandra.
How are you? Good afternoon.
I'm fine. Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Now, let's put it this way.
Okay.
Nobody should say there's no dollar in Nigeria.
Okay.
There is. But we know that they're in the hands of certain people. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Because, you see, though whoever they are that have the dollars in their hands don't mean well for this nation, because it's not going to help in any way. Importers cannot bring in their goods because we can't repatriate the dollar to the market outside. Even people who have children schooling abroad, no thanks to ASU strike and so, they can't pay children's school fees because central bank have had to change their policies from the use of Form A to using CBN portals and so on and so. Just making life difficult and miserable for people. Nigerians are actually fed up with all of this scam and all, whatever it is. I don't know how to call it now. But the truth is, there's dollars, and it is in the hands of those who want to use it for their campaign and vote buying and the rest of them.
Okay.
So may God help us.
Tiro, thank you very much for calling. I don't know if that's factual, to be honest with you, because $400 million, that's a lot of money for for a very vague there's dollars, you know. I'm not saying that you don't have people who are hoarding Forex, and I'm not saying that you don't have people who are, you know, hoarding this Forex for whatever reasons, but I don't know that that's the reason why the CBN isn't releasing $400 million in airline money. I don't know that that's the reason. I don't know the reason, but I don't know that that's the reason that, oh, some people have the dollars. It sounds nice to hear, but it also doesn't seem really factual. But it is a huge problem. It is something that we should be concerned about on many levels. It's such a multifaceted problem because you have, on the one hand, the impact to business, you have the impact to the economy, you have the impact to jobs. Because if an organization like Emirates is leaving the country, what happens to their Nigerian staff, those who work in the Nigerian office? You know, because it means they're not flying here anymore. To and fro, they're not flying anymore. What will that mean for those who work for the Nigerian offices at a time where unemployment is at an all-time high? All of these things are fair concerns, and I'm a bit worried that the Nigerian government hasn't spoken on this yet. I do hope that they will speak on this, hopefully by Monday, so that we can take a look at it on the big weekend. I know that on Fridays we don't talk about Nigerian stories, we just talk about global stories, but this is a global story. You have a major airline pulling out of a big country like Nigeria. It bears talking about. We'll take a break. When we come back from this break, let's travel to Kenya. William Ruto has won the Kenyan presidential election, but it wasn't without some drama. There was long wait, but they finally know who their president is. Lots of reactions trailing that win, all of that and so much more we'll talk about after this break. I've got a guest joining us from the biggest newspaper in Kenya. He was here last week. He's returning today. And he'll share with us how Kenya is feeling about their new president. He'll also share with us what everybody has said, is saying so far. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, S. Ezekwesili on social media. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Don't go away.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We'll be right back.
You don't start this your waka waka, Abi.
Good evening, Uncle.
Pa, don't call me that. Huh? Which kind of leg you want carry come to?
No vex. No be anyhow waka waka. Na the night show I dey go.
Eh? So me no reach to follow you go this night show? Well, wait o. Which kind of show be that?
Na the night show. It dey happen for Wazobia TV and Wazobia Max TV with Nedu and Petit every Wednesday by 8 p.m.
I beg you, no carry this grammar come give me. Today, na me and you go do this waka.
The night show. Showing Wednesdays at 8 p.m. on Wazobia TV and Wazobia Max TV. UHF 57 Lagos, DSTV Channel 259, Go TV 98, Star Times 195, and Free TV 744. Sponsored by Number.
The debaters are ready.
My name is Ajikunle Bora.
My name is Anna
Rabo. My name is Brian McClements.
My name is Ola Princess.
The panel of judges are ready.
The judges have decided.
The prize money is ready. 1 million naira.
There's only one question left, Lagos.
Are you, the audience, ready? It's the August edition of the I Beg to Differ debate tournament.
In line with research, Nigeria sets out an increasing number of skilled workers.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, your moderator. Join me from August 8th as the best student debaters go head to head.
There are different safety measures that Okada riders do flood.
Weekdays at 4 on 99.3 Nigeria Info FM. This tournament is supported by Webster University, RLG Communications, obiwizi.com, Buka Hot, and Storm Body Spray.
When person supposed chop?
Which kind of food? They say no test before you marry.
I go test even the day of my wedding. I go test before I go church. They just won't keep eating.
No, I don't want to say about this section of the
day. I will test before I buy.
Even if you say I will test too. Test and test and test and test again.
Join us,
Talk Better Talk, every Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday for 7 p.m. on Talk Wazobia TV and Wazobia Max TV, UHF 57, DSTV 259, Go TV 98, and Star Times 195.
Welcome back to your number one talk, news, and sports station. This is Nigeria Info.
Welcome back. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. William Ruto has won the Kenyan presidential election. That's our second story. After a long wait, like I said, we finally got an election result. Ruto barely crossed the 50% plus one threshold to beat Raila Odinga. Joining me again to discuss this, the result, what comes next, etc., etc., is a reporter with Kenya's Daily Nation. Leon Lidigu, welcome back to Hard Facts.
Thank you so much, Sandra. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good. though not many people in Kenya are. We have like half of the people who voted are heartbroken.
Aww.
While half are celebrating. But that is democracy. That is, it was a competition. We had to have a winner and a loser. That's the reality. It is what it is.
Yes,
you know?
It is what it is. I think the biggest question on Nigerian minds is, why did the votes take so long to count?
Constitutionally, we are the constitution allows votes to be counted for 7 days. So we got the result on the sixth day, which means they were, as per the constitution dictates, they were right on track.
Okay.
But remember, this is a very rigorous process because of our electronic system. It involves tallying of around 46,900 and something from 34 A's from each polling station in the country, which has to be verified by the presiding officers in each of those polling stations. And then, you know, we put them to the server. Again, now the people at the tallying center have now to also get, once what is uploaded online, they have also to cross-reference with the original forms they got on ground, you know? So it took some time counting and everything. And we also had technological challenges whereby some of the kits used to capture data in the field failed the voting system in some areas. So they had to resort to manual voting in those areas and physically count.
Okay.
That's why it took longer.
Yeah. Okay. Do Kenyans think it could have been shorter?
Kenyans think that this is the most credible election we've ever had as a country.
I see. Okay. I see.
And as opposed to long time ago, I think it's an issue of trust. The time factor comes with an issue of trust in Africa, because in most African elections, when something takes time, people start suspecting maybe someone is cooking numbers.
People get nervous.
You know, there are a lot of conspiracy theories. But I think we as Africans need also to have trust in our systems.
Okay.
Trust them to work. Enable our systems to work and breathe. So let me be able to cast my vote and go home, knowing that the Electoral Commission will count my vote and do the right thing. You know? Yeah. So I think to many Kenyans, they voted, they went home. People are back in their business. The business is already booming. Yesterday, people reported back to school. Schools are already open. Life is going on. Yes.
How are Kenyans reacting to this result? I know you say half of the people are rejoicing, half of the people are unhappy, but give me a bit more detail.
Okay, now, of course, Raila Odinga went public. In fact, we've had a lot of drama ever since we last spoke.
Yes.
We had four commissioners of the Electoral Commission dissenting the result and refusing to take ownership of the result. And they cited that the last phase, that is when the commissioner, the chairman of the IBC Commission, who's the presidential vote returning officer, was declaring the results and doing the numbers, they cited an opaque nature of operation. So we didn't understand what that meant.
Did they explain what that meant?
They promised to give an explanation the following day, which they did. And they did 10 minutes before Raila Odinga went to start accusing the Electoral Commission of malpractices, which was very interesting.
Why was that interesting?
So, yeah, it was interesting because, in fact, the data they were giving was wrong.
Okay.
The four dissenting commissioners, if you checked, if you did the math, they got their math wrong because they were like, they're alleging like 0.0%, a margin of 0.01% of the vote, which was the standard margin of error was accorded 142,000 votes. And if you do the math, you check, you do for 0.01% of 14.2 million. It's actually 1,492. So we saw memes of people with calculators. It's very interesting. And you should trust Kenyans on Twitter to make fun of these situations.
Yeah.
I think that humor also breaks a lot of tension and monotony, which is a good thing.
So we initially saw the Odinga camp rejecting the results. You just talked about them 10 minutes after the explanation from the commissioners rejecting the results. Have they formally challenged them? Has anything changed there?
No, they haven't. Our constitution gives them 7 days to do so.
Okay.
So their 7 days elapse on Tuesday because the results were announced on Tuesday.
Okay.
So we're waiting to see what will happen. Okay. But interestingly, when Odinga was went to talk to reject the results, he didn't mention Form 34A. He didn't touch on it.
Okay.
Which means I don't know if he had... To me, it would mean he had no issues with Form 34A. And Form 34A is now the total tally per stream around the country of the votes. So to him, it's about how the returning officer decided to handle things in the last phase. Because now the argument is the commissioners work under the chairman.
Okay.
Yeah?
Okay.
The constitution specifically recognizes the chairman as the returning officer of the presidential vote, which means it is his duty to decide to do the tallies and declare what the result is.
Okay.
But the constitution does not give what commissioners wanted. They wanted whatever results he had come up with, they put it to a vote and decide who has won.
Oh, okay.
So that beats logic. Because
yes, it does.
The decision to vote has already been done at the polling station.
That's
which means
right.
Kenyans have already decided.
That's right.
So the commissioner released an official statement that said the chairman released an official statement yesterday and said the four dissenting commissioners were strategically planning to subvert the will of the people. Yes, which are very serious allegations. So it's a whole pot of... For journalists, it's exciting because we get news content.
I know.
So and if I also may point out, you know, this is the fifth time Raila Odinga is losing an election.
That's
and
right.
alleging that it has been stolen from him.
Is he gonna go home this time? Is he gonna go home this time?
I saw Malema did a press conference and told him to go home. So
yes.
I hope he listened.
So beyond the presidential elections, there were also parliamentary and governorship elections. How did Ruto's party perform in those categories?
Tremendously and interestingly well.
Okay.
Because even in the constitution, where our current president Uhuru Kenyatta comes from, Ruto's party won majority of the votes. Where the president voted in the polling station, Ruto was the leading candidate. The incoming member of parliament in the constituency where the president comes from, the incoming member of parliament comes from Ruto's party.
Oh, wow.
So there seemed to be a wave. What Ruto did, and I think it to me, in my personal view, it contributes to why our elections are also peaceful. This time we did not have Tribe X versus Tribe Y. You know, I usually feel like after every 5 years, we engage in some sort of tribal census in the name of elections. But it wasn't about ethnicity, about tribes. It was about cost of living. It was about unemployment, young people. And, you know, these are issues all of us face.
Right.
You know,
right.
These issues don't know which ethnicity you come from.
Right.
And I think that's why Ruto just managed to package his message well. And he's pretty convincing.
But what has he promised in terms of policy? And how easy or difficult will it be to deliver?
Ruto promises what he calls a bottom-up economy.
Okay.
He told people that for a long time we've been having a trickle-down economy system whereby the who's and who's have to make the most money, have the most opportunities, so that the little leftovers that are left are trickled down to the rest of the people. So to him, he believes in empowering grassroots businesses going way up and focusing on those the haves of the society.
How easy or difficult will that be to implement, to deliver?
That's what everyone is waiting to see, because to him, some people felt he made it into a class war between the haves versus the have-nots. That's why we call he branded them hustlers. You know, he calls himself a hustler. Because he growing up, he was raised in a village somewhere in Sugoi where he didn't have shoes, you know, and all those things. He started as a chicken seller.
We've had those stories in Nigeria. It never ends well. It didn't end well when we heard that here. So we hope it ends well for you guys.
Yeah, but what is more promising is the fact that everyone is going on with their lives. I think that is good. Okay. Because we've been having a lot of tension. And I dare say this. Actually, if you've seen any amount of any form of violence, even at Bomas of Kenya, if you are watching, it's usually precipitated by the politicians. I think people have no issues. It's the political class that loves, you know, exchanging blows, fighting each other, and antagonizing people. But at this time, you know, someone put them at Bomas and all the cameras were on them. So it's a good thing. And for me, it's a contest. It's always a next time. But the bigger challenge comes, the bigger question also comes with now people asking, what's next for Raila? How will he play? How will he deal? If he goes to Supreme Court, well and good, because I think that also strengthens our system. And as media people, we really love some good showdowns of lawyers on TV. It's good for content and aesthetics. So it's a win-win.
So win-win for us. Leon Lidigu is a reporter with Kenya's Daily Nation. Leon, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome.
Lagos, let's talk about what you've heard. We've got about 3 minutes to do it before I have to hand over to Ayobe. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. Hello, thanks for calling us.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir? That's unfortunate. Hello.
Hello, Sandra. How are you?
I'm very well. Welcome.
Okay, so this is Alex.
Hi, Alex.
Now, Sandra, the only reason I'm calling you, I want to take your mind back to one of our discussions on the show where I said that we should learn to work our democracy from the ground up.
That's right.
I don't know if you remember.
I remember, yeah.
That's the best way. That's the best way to run a democracy.
Okay.
You don't run a democracy from the top to the bottom.
Right.
Where they are pouring down things on you from the top. You have to drive democracy for it to be way to work for the people. The people have to drive it from the bottom. That's why we shouldn't. People don't like. I'll use that water bill, for instance. It's not them at the top who should be telling us what we want to do. It's we that will look around us and say, this is where we want to go. Let's talk to our representatives so they can take our voice up. That's how democracy works. And I like what that guy said. It's exactly what he said. Thanks.
Alex, thank you very much. Kevin from Suleri is on the line. Hi, Kevin.
Yes, Sandra.
Welcome.
Congratulations to William Ruto.
Yes.
Despite all the odds against him, his boss was against him. You know, he still prevailed. One of the things that strikes me in this election is that INEC here must learn from. I saw that the prisoners voted there. I saw that those there in the diaspora also casted their votes. And INEC has to learn from those kind of things to fine-tune our own elections here.
Right.
I also saw that the party the gentleman came from is less than 2 years, you know, and yet he was able to win that election.
Yeah.
I don't know for Nigeria.
And win other parliamentary seats, you know. They won not just president, they won like every other thing.
I'm very impressed. Very impressed with that. But you have a lot of things he has to tackle as he's coming in as president.
Yeah.
You know, in China, a lot.
Yeah.
You know, they are owing a lot of debt, a lot of economic crisis there, you know, inflation rate and all that.
Yeah.
But I wish him well. Congratulations to him. If he's 5 years old, man, that's what we want. Let the 70-year-old man go and rest. He has tried. Thank you, Sandra.
Kevin, thanks for calling. Joy Forever says, other airlines may follow Emirates to stop flying. I had a discussion with a relation working in a big airline last Saturday, and they expressed fear that they may close shop due to unfavorable federal government policies. Unemployment may rise. God help us. Joy Forever with that message on Twitter. Thank you very much, Joy. And thank you to you for joining the show this afternoon. I'm glad that you were able to join us. You were able to talk to us. You were able to share your thoughts. Up next, Ayobe will be here with Public Square. I will be back on Monday. I will play an interview with the police PRO for you at 5 p.m. on Monday. And of course, the quarterfinals of I Beg to Differ will take the air from 4 p.m. also on Monday. Those were Hard Facts. Lagos, have yourselves a fantastic weekend.
It is all talk and more.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you